Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Last time in our lecture, we were talking about the sending out of the apostles to the Jews and to the Gentiles. As our Lord sent out the prophets in the days of the Old Testament, in the days of the New Testament, he has sent out the apostles to reveal the knowledge of salvation, that only in Christ can we find peace with God. And so he sent out the apostles to reveal this great mystery, that it would be made known to all people, both Jews and Gentiles, all the way to our own day, in which we continue to hear the revealed message of the cross through the written scriptures of both the prophets and the apostles. Now, in today's lecture, we're going to talk a little bit more about the significance of that written word that was given for posterity's sake, that we can be certain and clear that this is a sufficient, necessary knowledge that we need for salvation, for faith, and of course, godly living in this life and the vocations that the Lord has placed us. And also, we're going to look at the significance of placing a man into this office in which this gospel is to be preached, proclaimed, taught, and the sacraments, which are the gospel in water and body and blood, bread and wine, that are to be given so that we can receive these gifts, so that the sheep of God, that the Holy Spirit brings and draws into the Holy Church, can continue to be fed holy things, that their holiness will be and remain in Christ alone. So we'll look at this as we specifically look at Timothy and Titus. When we look at these two individuals, we receive a picture of these successors of the apostles, so that the next generation, if you will, of those who will fill this apostolic office of proclaiming the gospel will continue to our day. And so we'll see this in Timothy and Titus, who are contemporaries with the apostles, who are placed into this office in the days of the apostles, and that they are set into motion so that they would place fellow men into this office who are apt to teach, not just teach anything, but the revealed knowledge of salvation in the doctrine of the apostles. So we'll see that significance of Timothy and Titus put into place to put other men into place with the written word of truth, so that those teachers and the hearers can be certain and sure that they hear the message that was taught orally by the apostles in their day will continue to be taught through the ages up to our day and into the future, that the Holy Spirit who worked through the mouths of the prophets and the apostles in the past continues to work through their written word in our hearts in this day. So let's begin by looking a little bit at Timothy and Titus. Now, Timothy and Titus are two that worked with Paul proclaiming this message. Timothy is sent by Paul to various places. Titus sent to various places to proclaim this message, to clarify and to make sure that this message remains pure. And so they continue to teach the sheep, and they continue to fight off any wolves or false teachers that may try to destroy the souls of the sheep. So we'll see that Timothy, specifically when Paul writes these epistles, he writes two to Timothy. And in these two epistles to Timothy, we see the purpose for why Paul wrote, that he left Timothy in Ephesus to put things into order insofar as there was false teaching, and he was to correct the teaching. Now, Titus, on the other hand, in his epistle, Paul writes to him explaining that he left Titus in Crete so that he can put things into order. And what was lacking at the church in Crete was that they didn't have men in this office to continue this teaching of the apostles. And so we see with Titus and Timothy that they're given the task of overseeing and entrusting fellow teachers to teach theology to the people, just as Paul taught, just as all the other apostles taught, with Jesus at the foundation. So for this reason, the Apostle Paul wrote these two letters to Timothy and to Titus in order to emphasize the extreme importance on properly adorning the message of salvation. And that message would remain the same message that Paul taught when he was there in person, that Paul taught when he gave the gift of the written teaching, that Timothy and Titus themselves would teach in continuity with Paul all about Jesus, and that the successors of the apostles and the successors of Titus and Timothy would all be of one mind and one voice, proclaiming Jesus and Jesus Christ crucified for our sins. So when we look at these passages, let's take a step back and kind of have a little bit of a backstory, if you will, and go to Acts chapter 16. You see, in Acts chapter 16, here's where we see the introduction of Timothy. So look at Acts chapter 16 with me at verses 1 through 5. Now the Apostle Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So this is Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. Now, of course, to put this in context, the previous chapter in Acts chapter 15 is the great council, the first council at Jerusalem. And the issue at hand at that council was, what do we do with Gentile converts? Again, the apostles are sent out to all nations, all the ethnos, all the goyim, Jews and Greeks are to hear this message of the cross. But what takes place when a Greek is converted to Christ? Should he be circumcised? Should he maintain kosher food regulations? Should he observe the Sabbath? Well, in Acts chapter 15, with this whole council that meets together, you have both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul joining together and giving testimony, testifying to the work of the Holy Spirit, creating faith in even the Gentiles, making it clear that this message is for all people, and that both Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ. It is Christ who breaks down any barriers of hostility. So the people who weren't God's people are now God's people in Christ. And so, of course, at Acts chapter 15, you have this decision made by the apostles, according to the scripture, that this message is for the Gentiles, and the Gentiles do not need to become Jews first to be followers, disciples, that is, students of Jesus. So Paul is encouraged in his ministry as he goes out to proclaim the gospel of salvation to all nations. And so here in this passage in Acts chapter 16, we learn about this introduction of Timothy. Timothy, of course, was uncircumcised, but yet, for the sake of not putting any kind of a stumbling block in the way for those Jews who were weaker in the faith, who were expecting all Greeks to be circumcised, as a matter of adiaphora, a matter that is neither commanded nor forbidden, in his gospel freedom, Timothy is circumcised, so that those who are weaker in the faith do not become scandalized at the preaching of the gospel of Paul to the Gentiles. Now, it's interesting to note that when we talk about Titus in a few minutes, we'll realize that it was a completely different circumstance, and Titus, although he was uncircumcised, was not circumcised. And so you see two different case scenarios put into place, that you have Timothy, who is free in the gospel in Christ, and in his freedom chooses to be circumcised so that he does not create any unnecessary scandal for a weaker brother, especially those of the synagogue. But yet, when it comes to Titus, which we'll talk about later, the issue with Titus is that we're going to make it clear that our freedom in Christ means that it's not necessary to be circumcised. And Paul's going to be so adamant on this, he's going to put the salvation of Titus on the line, if you will. He's going to say, I'm positive that you don't have to be circumcised, and I'm going to prove it by not circumcising Titus. And so Titus's salvation is secure not in this concept of whether or not he needs to be circumcised and to follow kosher rules and to be at rest on the Sabbath, but instead his whole salvation is certain and sure in Christ alone. In his baptism, Titus was circumcised with a circumcision done without hands. And in his baptism, he was united to Christ, and in Christ there is no condemnation. Now let's get back to Timothy, though. He's introduced in Acts chapter 16. Now you'll see Timothy will come into play as he's there being sent by Paul to kind of straighten out some bent or miscued or askew types of teaching. And you'll see this in chapter 19 of the book of Acts and 20 in the book of Acts, where Paul has to gather the elders from Ephesus. And so we'll also get a picture of Paul correcting doctrine, making sure that the doctrine is clear from his mouth. When he goes away, he sends Timothy. When Timothy's there, then you also are going to have a written word. Epistles will follow so that people can be certain and sure that they are on the same page as Paul is, who is teaching the same thing as all the other apostles, and that Timothy and Titus are teaching the same thing as Paul, and Paul will then put into place successors in this teaching office, this preaching office where the gospel is to be proclaimed and the sacraments are to be given. So you see this in Acts chapter 20. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, where Paul gathers these elders who are men who have been placed into this office to be the successors of the apostle from generations to generations, that men will continue to be placed in this office to speak in one voice with the apostles. And when we speak the same thing as the apostles, we speak the same thing as Jesus. So here's Acts chapter 20, and we'll start at verse 17. So in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, follow along with me. It reads this in the ESV. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. Now, this is Paul the Apostle. And the text goes on to say this. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, day or night, to admonish every one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Now this is Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 32. So in this account of the Acts of the Apostles, we have a picture here of the Apostle Paul, who is talking about his imminent death. He will be martyred for the faith. And now he is consoling and he's comforting those who will be successors in this preaching office instituted by Christ, so that the preaching of the cross will continue until the return of Christ. And so the Apostle Paul assures them that these men have been placed into this office by the Holy Spirit himself. And their task as under-shepherds is to speak the voice of the Good Shepherd, feeding the sheep. But Paul warns them that when he dies, there will be wolves who will come to tear apart the sheep. Even wolves from the midst of them, the church, and those who are placed into this preaching office. So Paul wants to be clear that he has taught them everything that is necessary for salvation, for faith and morals, and that they are to remain in the teaching he has handed on to them. That he gave them the full, whole counsel of God. He did not hide anything from them. They do not need to search for hidden esoteric revelations or visions from some other source or some secret message, Gnostic teaching that the apostles didn't give them. They have the full counsel of God, and they are to remain in this. And they are to pay careful attention that they speak in continuity with the teaching of the apostles. That is their task, to feed the sheep. Now, it's interesting to note that Paul, when he writes his letter to Timothy, okay, he sends Timothy around to clarify, to correct what has gone wrong in teaching. And look at what Paul does in his first letter to Timothy. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Paul says this: "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." And this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. So again, the Apostle Paul had left Timothy here in Ephesus, same place that he's having this conversation with these elders. He wants to make sure that they are clear on the apostolic teaching. They don't need to concern themselves with myths or any kind of things that would promote speculation. The teaching of Christ, the message of the cross and salvation that we have, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, is a message that we are to proclaim so that people are certain and sure that they understand who Christ is and what Christ has done, the price he has paid to bring us to God, to cover our sins, to pay for our transgressions, that in his atoning sacrifice, we know that we are now reconciled with God. We are declared righteous because the righteousness of Jesus is imputed and credited to us, while all of our wretchedness and wickedness is imputed and credited to Christ on the cross. And so Paul wants to make certain and sure that his hearers in Ephesus know the teaching, so that posterity, generations to come, can be certain and sure that they have the correct teaching of the apostles. It's interesting to note that here you see in the book of Acts that Paul's in Ephesus gathering the elders. Paul writes to Timothy and he puts him there in Ephesus to make sure the doctrine's clear. And then Paul even writes an epistle to the church in Ephesus, to the baptized, to remind them of their identity in Christ, that they have been washed with the water and the word, and they are holy and blameless and spotless in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away their sin. And they are to remain in him and continue to hear his word. In fact, it's interesting to note that in the book of Revelation, when the Apostle John gets this revealed knowledge, this vision from Christ, he is told to write these letters to the messengers of a variety of churches, and one church in particular is the church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. In this letter it says this: Christ speaks and says, "I know your works, your toil, your patience, your endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false." Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. So here in this passage, we see that all of Paul's effort in gathering the elders, sending Timothy, writing to the baptized in Ephesus, is bearing fruit, that they are certain and sure what the voice of the shepherd is, the good shepherd, that is, who laid down his life for his sheep, so that they can tell who the hiring is, the hireling, I should say, the false prophet, the false teacher, and they will not stand for it. So when we look at these passages, we see the significance in the role of Titus and Timothy, in the teaching of Paul orally in his day, and making sure that this will continue on for posterity's sake. It is then written down. And when we look at Paul's letters, like for instance his letter to the baptized in Romans, at the end in his last chapter, he has this greeting that Timothy himself is with Paul, and Timothy greets the baptized in Rome. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is a greeting from Paul and Timothy. Philippians chapter 1, a greeting from Paul and Timothy. Colossians chapter 1, a greeting from Paul and Timothy. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, both letters begin with a greeting from Paul and Timothy. And Philemon, again, also a greeting from Paul and Timothy. So that we can be certain that Paul has put things into place. And of course, we know that it's the Holy Spirit working through Paul to do this. That Timothy and Titus will be men who will teach the teaching of the apostles as it is handed down from generation to generation. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we learn about Titus. And we hear about Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. We read this. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Again, picking up at verse 16, Paul continues to talk about Titus, and he says this, But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I gave for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all of the churches for his preaching of the gospel. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. And then again at verse 23, Paul picks up and says this, As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 23 through 24. Now again, this is this epistle that Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians, where he begins with greetings alongside with Timothy. And he confirms that Titus is a co-worker proclaiming the same message. Now, of course, as we talked before, Titus is the one who was not circumcised. Titus, just like Timothy, was an uncircumcised Greek, but Titus was, for the sake of being pure and clear on the gospel, was not circumcised to show that it was not necessary for salvation. And we see this in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It reads this, Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. That's Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.